Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW. I'm your host, Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is magician and illusionist Reza, who will be performing at the Ron Houston Center for the Performing Arts this evening at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available at RezaLive.com. Reza, thank you for joining me this morning before tonight's big show. First off, what was it that got you into this line of work?
So for me, it all started at the age of six, and I was lucky enough to get selected to come up on stage during a magic show at like a school assembly. It was just kind of a aha, life-changing moment, realizing how cool it is to be up on stage and having people, you know, freak out over a trick. And so I went home, I asked my parents for a magic kit and kind of told them that this is something I want to do. They were very supportive, surprisingly. They got me the magic kit, and they started taking me on vacation, different places where there was high-level magic shows playing. So this has all been like this crazy dream since just a kid. There was a few different moments that gave me these little boosts, different television shows that discovered like YouTube videos I put out and invited me on. Duck Dynasty was one of those. Penn & Teller Fool Us was another one. And so they kind of helped me reach broader audiences. We started traveling internationally as well. And it just, the scope changed from a little local magician where I was known kind of in a two or three state radius around my home area of South Dakota, to all of a sudden being able to reach different types of demographics, even transcending language and culture and getting things out there. So it's crazy. Like, the world right now moves so fast and information moves so fast. It used to be that there was television specials when I was a kid that everyone would be talking about the next day. Now I have, you know, videos that might, I had one that hit 60 million views, and it gave me a boost for a couple of days, and then people forget about it. And you have to continually create new things and put it out there because there's just so much that's vying for people's attention right now. But, you know, every little thing that gets out there and gets in front of people, I think helps sell another ticket. And every time someone comes to the show, now they're the mouthpiece going out there and telling other people about it. And then it's kind of like this big snowball effect.
And so what is it that you draw inspiration from?
For me, it's drawing inspiration from everyday life, from pop culture, from things that move people, whether it's music or movies, and trying to intertwine that same emotion, where that is, into a piece of magic or a piece of art. And I found early on that I enjoyed seeing magic tricks, but I never connected to the trick itself. Magicians would always use these like weird sparkly boxes. If they're going to cut someone up, it'd be like a samurai sword that you would never like really see in real life unless it was for something of a theatrical element. And I started just shifting that to things that people either have in their garages or have in their lives or see around. So it'd be like power tools and spray paint. When I make people disappear from the audience, I don't put them in a weird sparkly box. I put them into an actual shipping container that you see every single day. And I think a couple of things happen. I think it desensitizes you to it. You're not worried about, you know, what is this weird contraption, but also makes it relatable and it helps things connect. And that experience is all about connection. At the beginning of the show, you know, I tell some jokes, I tell some stories, and I feel the audience start to warm up. And I even at different points sit on the front of the stage and have more of an acoustic moment. And by the end of the show, it's like we're all friends. My biggest boost came from this weird trick that I created with an Oreo cookie. And I just redesigned it from another trick that I had in the show with the same concept. I don't want to give too much away or spoil the surprise of what happens. But I just started doing the trick with something that people love, an Oreo cookie. And then that video took off, and I've done that trick live and on television in 31 countries now around the world. Tons of opportunities have come about that would have never happened if I was using the old object, which was scarves and silks, that people just kind of looked at and clapped politely But the Oreo, people literally cheer, and I want you to come and see it. But it's really about finding things that connect to people.
How much of an impact does social media have on your work?
Well, information is accessible. Whether you want to believe that or not, people can go out and they can Google and research things and how these things work. Is that a positive thing or is it a negative thing? You know, when I go out and I look at how people are, quote-unquote, exposing illusions, they're not typically correct. People will normally just take a guess, but they'll put it out there, and they'll do it, you know, causing people to think that's how it works. So it made me realize that if you want the magic destroyed, you can do that. It's like when you ride a ride at Disney, you can look straight ahead, you can experience it, or you can look above you and see the cables that are holding up the car, or you can look down and see the track that things are moving in. And for me personally, that ruins the experience. The more that I thought I want to know how these tricks worked, the more I realized that I wish I hadn't, because it kind of destroys that experience. For me, at least, this is just speaking from experience, as a kid, wishing I knew how something was done. When I did, I realized you can never go back from that. So when I watch a magic show, it's hard for me to get that same feeling, those goosebumps, that rush by seeing it. So those that come to the show and then try and figure things out afterwards, I think are destroying that moment, that magic. And it's a very rare thing to experience something like that. And no matter what age you are, I feel like a kid again. So I like keeping that intact personally.
With social media and video, do you feel that both of those are beneficial for you and other magicians or even content creators in today's age?
Yes, the platform of social media has allowed every entertainer to become their own label, so to speak. You don't have to have a television special in order to reach a large audience. In fact, I have had many videos that I have just filmed in my own home and put out there in a matter of moments reach more people than television appearances that I have had. So it creates an enormous amount of power to be able to put things out, have them seen on a huge grand scale. But it also oversaturates the market a bit because every single person has the ability to do that. So I believe that it's a very positive thing overall. However, it pushes you harder because you're continually having to compete with every single person who has a phone versus every person that has a television deal or a record deal. So it's a changing world, but it's exciting.
So you mentioned how it pushes you to work harder. Does it also push you towards performing certain illusions that can fit within the view of a camera phone?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of ways you can go on direction. You've got people like Zach King, who borders on magic, but he's very forward about using camera tricks in order to achieve these illusions. And he does these huge dynamic things, and that'd be outdoors and big elaborate sets and all that. And then you've got guys who just have a little camera over a table, and they do sleight of hand with cards. So I think anything is possible. It's really just carving out that niche and figuring out who you are and what you do, and more importantly, what your audience receives. There's a lot of things that I create thinking that this is going to be the next video that takes off. Sometimes they're big, elaborate stunts. I do a trick with this giant drill where I drill through a person, concrete auger, and lift them up and spin them around on this giant drill. And I made helicopters and motorcycles appear, my tour bus. I made vanish in the middle of the Salt Lake Flats where there's nowhere to go for miles and miles and miles. And then I'll do this small trick with a piece of candy or a candy bar or even a rubber band. And those are the things that will sometimes take off. So it's not really about the biggest thing necessarily. When we're shooting things on our phones, we have the ability to create really art with anything. You never know what might spark an idea.
So currently you have tour dates around the world, as well as set nights in Branson, and of course your performance tonight. You know, all these different settings and places and people. Does that ever impact what you perform on a given night?
I gauge the audience every night. I like to try new things. And afterwards, I do a VIP meet and greet experience where I get to spend a short amount of time with a small amount of fans and have enough connection that I get to keep my finger on the pulse, what they liked, what they didn't. And they can also ask questions and go further in depth with their experience that night. But that allows me to know what's working. That in correlation with just measuring the audience at different points in the show. There's a lot of tricks where people will just clap at the end of it. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for those gasps, those moments where it's inaudible. They're trying not to react. They're just, their jaw drops open. And so that's what stays in the show the next night. And I'll rotate things in and out from some of our viral videos. I'll test them. I'll try them. Sometimes things will correlate. Things that was created for the screen will play live, and sometimes it won't. And there's really no science to it other than just measuring the crowd's energy and reaction to different things each night. And then I also film the show. Every single night, I film the show from a camera in the back of the theater. And I also, from time to time, film the audience. And I'll line those two up on two different screens, and I'll watch what they're watching, and then I'll watch how they respond and react to it. And that's kind of my my way of measuring what is truly working and what's not.
So based on the performances I've seen of magicians in the past, it seems like the ones that always make it big, or the ones that, you know, people see are good magicians, always have this certain level of danger in their act. How much risk is there in the illusions that you perform?
Well, people love to see danger, whether they want to admit it or not. There's something exciting about not knowing if something will go wrong and how wrong could possibly go. And I've done different stunts throughout my career, but they're very, very calculated. Houdini would sometimes do something one time and it would be iconic. It would live in everyone's memories and imaginations forever. But he did that one time. So if there's a margin of error, which there always is, it wouldn't catch up to you likely in that one performance. We're doing over 300 performances a year. So if I have something that's a part of my show on a nightly basis, that small margin of error will eventually catch up. So anything that we do in the show is with a great responsibility that, one, we are not putting ourselves in any real amount of danger, and we've thought through every possibility, even to the point where if something goes wrong mid-trick, we have a way to get out of it, and we have a way to finish the trick a different way without our exposure to risk being too great. But also responsibility to people who are watching this. I wouldn't want kids to recreate things. So I'm very careful not to do things that are dangerous with things that are accessible to young kids. And so the combination of that allows us to calculate what risks we're going to take and what risks we're not going to take. What's interesting is the parts of the show that you would think would cause injury, the saw blades, the danger stunts, the blindfold, paintball gun shooting across with a signed paintball into one of my assistant's mouth. There's a bunch of things that are very exciting. The thing that I've gotten hurt with the most is simply sharp props that are backstage waiting to go on, walking off the stage in the dark and hitting those props. Nine times out of ten, the injuries will take place simply backstage and just in the tech of the show. The worst injury was a stage that had collapsed in Acapulco. I fell to the stage, and I cut my leg open. I looked down, and I saw the bone sticking out in my leg. It wasn't broken, but it was just an exposed bone, and I had 40 shows with no days off from that point forward, and I wasn't able to walk at that moment. So those are things you can't really account for. I mean, a stage collapsing, you wouldn't think that would be the injury you'd think that it'd be something with one of the dangerous parts of the show. But so far, knock on wood, we've never had any great injuries with anything that appears to be dangerous.
You know, the overarching thing that sticks out in that answer is that you seem to understand all the dangers associated with the performance. How do you balance knowing all that while performing your illusions safely?
There's a high amount of vigilance during the whole show, not just about these dangerous elements, but monitoring the audience, monitoring technical items during the show that could pose a problem. So your brain has to be in 50 different places at once. But the more that you perform and rehearse these things, the more comfort you have with them on stage. There's stunts that I do that like have caused just a big rush. One of them is when I levitate and fly up into the air, 20 feet above the audience. And it used to get butterflies every time I would do it, but you start to get desensitized to it a little bit. So even if you're nervous about it in rehearsal or when you're blocking through it, or it's on your mind before the show, it seems like once you start doing them in the show, the adrenaline just kind of takes over and you're kind of desensitized to it. Even if you get hurt during the show or something like that happens where it's unexpected and there's an injury, you don't even feel it until afterwards. So the trick is just to keep your mind focused on what it needs to be focused on, because the adrenaline will sometimes rush over you and just desensitize you.
How much of your personality goes into your show?
A lot of it. I realized early on that for me, I need to be authentic, where others have the ability to play a character and kind of switch this on and off. I wanted to integrate my true sense of humor, which is kind of a dry humor that, you know, is just the way that I think. And so to express it on stage is better than having writers write me material, and I try to deliver it in the way that they've envisioned it, the way that I dress. It's just who I am versus a tuxedo, or, you know, different magicians have portrayed themselves in different ways. But that's for me, it's just figuring out who I really am and then kind of putting that on steroids a little bit so it plays big on stage, but it's not much of a departure for me personally, or other magicians who you've mentioned, and others that come to mind. You see them on stage, you see them off stage, and they're different people.
And so what should people expect going into tonight's show?
Well, what I can tell you is the show is like a rock concert meets a magic show. So you're going to see things that you've seen, hopefully, you know, through a screen, if you've seen my videos on YouTube or different television appearances. But when you see it live, it's a whole different thing. The rock concert element is the lights, the sound, the video walls, the whole experience that just really makes it into a whole new level than being able to try and process something through a flat screen. And to do that, I reach out, I get people involved, I try to break that barrier down. Where not everyone wants to be on stage, and I realize that. So only pick people that truly want to be, but bringing them up on the stage and involved with different illusions allows you to know that it's 100% authentic, and what they're seeing is what you also are experiencing, but they're able to see it close up to make sure it looks the same from behind or on top or around as it does from your view as well. There's big moments. I make a helicopter appear, a motorcycle appear. There's small moments, things that I've done on television shows or social media with cards. We're able to make play huge with cameras and large screens. And there's always a lot of surprises along the way. So it's a fun experience that doesn't matter how old you are. If you want to bring the grandkids and come out, it's great. If you got kids and you want to get a babysitter and just have a night out for yourself and not even bring them, it's an experience that you'll enjoy that way as well. So it's a really fun way to spend a couple of hours.
All right. Well, those are all the questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, we're excited to bring the show to Maryville, and tickets are on sale now.
All right, Reza. Thank you for joining me this morning, and good luck tonight. Once again, that is magician and illusionist Reza, who will be performing at the Ron Houston Center for the Performing Arts this evening at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available at RezaLive.com. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW.